Okay, let's begin. I'm going to start with a little introduction about Rav Meir Shapiro and the Yeshiva and the incredible movement of Daf Yomi that he started. And we're not doing the whole Daf. I know a lot of people aren't learning Daf Yomi, so just picking up in the middle doesn't make so much sense. We're going to do a little sugya from it. There's a good kasha of Toso that has many, many answers. I'll just present five of them. Rav Meir Shapiro, we've been discussing, founded this yeshiva. He lived 1887 to 1933, which means he died when he was 46 years old. Okay, he managed to accomplish a lot in those 46 years. He established the Daf Yomi in 1923, so when he was 36 years old. I remember Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal once spoke in his sukkah. It was the Yurtzeit of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. And he was telling some stories, and he said that as soon after he made Aliyah, his first trip back to America, he decided to visit his former Rashi Yeshiva, his former Rebbeim. And so first he made a trip to Rav Huttner. And one of the questions he asked Rav Huttner was, when I'm interviewing a candidate for the yeshiva and I'm deciding whether to accept a certain candidate, what are the criteria, what should I be looking for? And as a follow-up, he asked him specifically, how much weight and consideration do I give to the person's background and learning level? And Rav Huttner told him that your job is to raise the next generation of Gedolim. So you want the best, the brightest, the most learned. But he said, when I went to speak to Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, I got a slightly different picture. I asked him the similar questions, and I said to him, and how much weight, how much consideration do I give to the person's background going in? And he looked at me and said, zero. It's all about a person's approach and interest in learning. If he's willing to come to yeshiva and put in the work and aspires to grow, so it doesn't matter that until then he didn't do that yet. That shouldn't be a factor in coming to yeshiva. So I'm sure of Lichtenstein, Kedarko did, you know, he definitely tried to raise very great students, and he may have done an amalgamation of sorts, but he certainly took that story to heart. I remember him also once talking in about 2007, there was a certain scandal, a person very well-respected, brilliant, academic person said something, did something he shouldn't have publicly, and when Rav Lichtenstein came to America, and the community asked him about it, and he said that he had actually interviewed that person for Yeshivat Har Etzion. And when he interviewed him, so he walked out and the principal said, no. And he said, yeah, I'm not going to accept him. He says, I'm telling you, he's the brightest, most capable, most brilliant, most learned student we've ever had in the school. And Rav Lichtenstein said to him, but yes, but he's not a Yari Shemayim. And I'm not going to accept him. And it was obviously a very prescient based on what happened, I guess, 40 years later or so. So in this yeshiva, Yeshiva Chachmei Lublin, he said, Rav Meir Shapiro modeled it after Lithuanian yeshiva like Volozhin and Slobodka and the Varduk. But like Rav Berger said last night, he was trying to train Hasidic rabbis for the next generation of Polish Jewry. So it's a yeshiva only for the best, probably more in the Rav Huttner style that I just described. To come, you had to know 200 daf gemara baal peh. You could see this massive building. It housed hundreds of students. And according to an article I found, it said there were 100,000 books in the library. So I was schmoozing with Mr. Bajel, the yeshiva librarian, and I discussed Yeshiva Chachmei Lublin in their library, and he said to me, wait, we have one of their svarim in our library. And I don't know if you saw what was going on in the yeshiva library this week, but this was on Monday. So he, I don't know, put on helmets and crawled through rubble and went and found that book and brought it out to me. because he wanted to make a photocopy so he could pass it out, that everybody could see that the yeshiva has a book with their stamp. In the book, the stamp is colored purple, but in the photocopy it's not. And inside the book, it's stamped as well on one of the pages at random, so nobody should take the book. And he said that they may have had multiple branches. You can pass it around. They may have had multiple branches, and they definitely had a drive or a campaign for people to donate Svarim. You have a certain book in your home? Donate it to the Chachmei Lublin Library. But I said to him, how many Svarim are in the Yeshivat Har Etzion Library? And he said to me, we're at 87,000. So I said, 100,000 is a lot more than that. And he said, there's no way there were 100,000 there. He said, there's no way. He says, if you look at the size of the room and the way they used the space, they weren't using the inside of the room. It was only the walls, and it may have been to the ceiling. So he says, it's possible they had multiple locations, because if you look at that stamp, it's stamped like another branch, I don't know, the Wilhelm branch or something, of the Chachmei Lublin Library. But then he decided to go back into the library, crawl through, until he found another book that had some pictures of the library. So I'll pass that around too. But in this book, it says, in Tav Resh Pei Chet, it had 2,956. And Tav Resh Tzadi, it had about 12,000. And this book concludes that he believes it got up to almost 50,000 books, which is still quite the number. And he said even that number is hard for him to believe. But nonetheless, he says it's a much more realistic number than to say that 100,000. But either way, these are side points. He felt it was important to have a yeshiva with a big, beautiful building, with a big, beautiful library, and it's going to be a place of learning to raise the next generation of Gedolim. We also mentioned that he served in the parliament, in the Second Polish Republic, from 1922 to 1927. He was actually, at a certain point, offered the position of the community of Lodz. There was a vote in the community of Lodz, and about a bare majority of the community voted for him to come and be the Rav there. And they arranged that part of his paycheck was going to pay off the debts of the Chachmei Lublin Yeshiva. And he took the job, and he died 3 days later. So that part didn't come to fruition. He was very involved in the Aguda. A journalist once asked him if it's true that he is now part of Agudas Yisrael. And he said, no, I am not a part of the Aguda. The Aguda is part of me. That's the quote attributed to him. And since his death and since the ruin of this yeshiva, so there's a neighborhood in Bnei Brak known as Zichron Meir, and it's named for Meir Shapiro. And they rebuilt the yeshiva there. They called it Chachmei Lublin. Rav Vosner Zatzal just passed away, I don't know, about 2 years ago. He was the Rosh Yeshiva there. And Rav Shapiro is actually now buried in Har Menuchot because they dug him up and brought him there in 1958. And just one last piece about the Daf Yomi. When he presented the idea of Daf Yomi and that was going to start Rosh Hashanah in 1923, so he said, how great is it? A Jew travels by boat and he takes a Gemara Brachot and he travels for 15 days from Eretz Yisrael to America. And each day, towards evening, he opens the Gemara and he studies the Daf. He arrives in a basement in America, he enters a basement in New York, and he finds a Jew studying the same page he studied that day, which allows him to happily join their study group. He schmoozes with them, they answer his questions, the name of heaven is glorified and sanctified. Another Jew leaves the United States and travels to Brazil. He returns to the Beis Medrash and finds people immersed in the very same page that he studied that day. Can there be a greater unity of hearts than this? That was one reason for Daf Yomi. The second reason, he said, there are many Masechtot people don't study. Tractates that he called Yatomim, or Yosomim. Only exceptional people were learning the obscure Masechtot. The Daf is going to rectify that situation. And he gave a homiletic idea of a certain Gemara that those who were at the Siyum HaShas in the Meadowlands recently, Rabbi Frand gave the same idea in a very dramatic fashion. I'll just give it over quickly and we'll move over to our short discussion of a piece of Gemara. The Gemara Yevamot, Daf Kukav Aleph, tells the following story. Amar Rabban Gamliel, Pam achad hayiti mahalich basfina, ra'iti sfina achad shenishbara. I was traveling by boat, and I saw another boat that was sink, that had been damaged, it was sinking. Vayiti mitzda'er al tamid chacham shabba, and I knew that there was a certain person on that boat who was a tamid chacham, and he was going to drown and finished. Umanu Rabbi Akiva. Ukishaliti bayabasha, and I got to land. Babi Yashav v'dan lefanai v'alacha. There was Rabbi Akiva. How did you do that? Bini, amarti lo, bini, mi halacha. Who lifted you up? How did you get saved? Amarli, davshel svinan is davenli. I found a piece of wreckage of the boat. V'chol gal v'gal shem ba'alayna netel arashi, and I ducked under every wave. And that was how he was saved. But he pointed to the phrase. What was it that he grabbed? The Lashon Gemara is Daf Shel Sfina is dominantly. A board from the boat. They said, no, it wasn't the board that saved him. It was the Daf that saved him. The Daf Gemara, the Torah, that was what saved him. And that was the inspiring word that he gave when he founded Daf Yomi. Okay, let's quickly learn one short piece of Gemara, Kasha of Tosfot, and a few answers. We're on Kedushin Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, today's daf, and we're discussing, we have the opportunity today, because that's today's daf, we're going to discuss the controversial topic of women's exemption from Talmud Torah. So the Gemara says, quoting the Mishnah, Mitzvah Rasei Shezman Grama Nashim Turon. Time-bound, positive mitzvot, women are exempt. Minalan, how do we know this, the Gemara asks. Gamar mi tefillin, we learn it out from tefillin. Ma tefillin nashim turot, av kol mitzvot asei shezman grama nashim turot. The binyan av comes from tefillin. Women are exempt from tefillin. Tefillin is a time-bound mitzvah, we only wear it during the day, we only wear it on weekdays. Women are exempt from that one. Similarly, any other time-bound positive mitzvah, women are going to be exempt. And how do we know that women are exempt from tefillin? But tefillin, gamar lami talmud Torah, we learn it out from their exemption from having to learn Torah. Ma talmud Torah, nashim turot? Af tefillin, nashim turot? Just like they're exempt from learning Torah, they're exempt from learning tefillin. What's the connection between talmud Torah and tefillin? Sukkim, Jason Sukkim. Right next to each other, we say it every day, a few times a day, in Kriyat Shema. Jason, Shartam Leot Al Yadecha, and Vashinantam Levanecha, right there, about learning Torah, tefillin, adjacent to each other. So there's a great connection right there. So the Gemara says, Vindakish tefillin the mezuzah. Right there, in that same Parsha of Kriyat Shema, yes, there's Talmud Torah, and yes, there's tefillin, but there's also women are chayavot in mezuzah. So why not say, let's connect, why did you connect tefillin to Talmud Torah and exempt them? Let's connect tefillin to mezuzah and obligate them. Hava amina the Gemara. So the Gemara says, don't do that. Tefillin to Talmud Torah, itkish bein b'parsha rishona, bein b'parsha shniya. It's adjacent to the discussion of Talmud Torah in the first paragraph of Kriyat Shema and the second paragraph. Tefillin the mezuzah, but parsha shniyah lo itkish. There's in between tefillin and mezuzah. The second parsha is limadatem otam epeneichem. There's Talmud Torah in the way. Okay. Vindakish mezuzah le Talmud Torah. Mezuzah should be connected to Talmud Torah. And therefore, why are women chayavot and mezuzah? They should be exempt, like they are exempt from Talmud Torah. So the Gemara says, lo salchadaitach. Don't say that. Dichtiv leman yirbu yimeichem. Why do we have mezuzot? We have them so we can be zocha to a long life. Gavri bayichayi, nashi lo bayichayi. Men need a long life, and therefore we have mezuzah. Women don't need one, and they wouldn't need one. No, women need a long life too, and therefore women are chayavon and mezuzah. Rabbi Yamin Tabori, Shabbat Rafuah Shalema, always, I heard it at least 5 times, quoted his wife, who said, the men want a long wife, long life with women, so therefore the women need a long life too. So therefore women are chayav in a mezuzah as well. So the Gemara says, Varei Sukkah. Sukkah is definitely a time-bound positive mitzvah because it only happens 7 days a year. The mitzvah that says is mangrama, dechtiv basukkah teshu shivat yamim, 7 days. And then the pasuk has to tell us, time of the kadav rachmana ha'ezrach, kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael, every citizen of Klal Yisrael has to sit in a sukkah. Lahotzi et anashim. Why did you need a gzera kadav to say only men and not women? If we know that women are exempt from all time-bound positive mitzvot, why would we need a gzera kadav to tell us that she's exempt? We should have known she was exempt. So the Gemara says, time the kadav rachmana ha'ezrach, lotzi et anashim, halav hachi nashim chayavot. No? So Amar Abaye, this is actually one of the answers of the Gemara, but we'll stop here. It's nerech, we need it. You have to live in the sukkah. We say, teshu kein taduru, live in it the way you live in your home. Madira ish ishto, just like in your home, a man and a woman and his wife live together. That chumrah hasn't taken place in Klal Yisrael yet. Af sukkah ish ishto, so too in a sukkah, men and women together, you would think, and therefore you needed gzera katuv, to exempt women from Talmud Torah. But let's go back to that line. Oh, Salkadaita, don't think that. As it says, L'man yirbui meichem, gavra ba'yichai, nashi lo ba'yichai. What does it mean, don't think that? So Rashi says, liftor nashim, mean to tell them, atan skarab, ibri ba'yamim, nashi nami ba'yichai. Don't think to exempt women from mezuzah, because women also need a long life. So Tosot, dibur amachil, gavra ba'yichai, first makes a side point and then asks a question that all the other sources are going to be trying to answer. The Tosot says, "Ava gav da haikra darshin perik ba mem alikin gabe bittel Torah, but avon bittel Torah banim ktanim etim. Because of wasting time for learning Torah, children die. Childbirth, their children die. Mikol makom lo havikim asmachta ba'alma." That's just an asmachta, and therefore women are indeed exempt from Talmud Torah. But here's Tosot's question. We say about Torah, it's part of our lives, this is what gives us life. So why would it be that we'd be exempt from, that women should be exempt from Talmud Torah? Don't they need life? We just said, regarding mezuzah, women need life. So why wouldn't that same bracha of Torah giving you life apply to women? So Tosot offers two answers. Yesh lomar tekra lo kai atama Torah ela kiyum mitzvah. The pasuk is not about learning Torah, but about keeping mitzvah. Kolomar atorah melelechem mitzvot shehem chayecha. So the first answer is it's not a good question because the pasuk is about mitzvot and it's not about Torah, and therefore there's no proof that is about learning Torah, and therefore women should be learning Torah because they also want a long life. But Tosot's going to give a second answer, and the other answers are going to be more in this vein, because we do like the idea of Torah giving you a long life. So, Od Yesh Lomar, the Ein Achanami the Haikra Bein Atama Torah, Kai Bein Atama Torah, that this pasuk is also talking about Talmud Torah. Learning Torah also gives you a long life. Kedamar atam. Ubeina mezuzah. And it's also about mezuzah. Kedamar hacha. Miu ein svara lomar denechayvo nashim betamat Torah mishum svara degabra bayichai. There's no logic to require women to learn Torah based on the logic of men need life and women don't need life. Kevan de eshkechan miuto gabayu. Because we do have a miut exempting women from the chi of Talmud Torah. Kedamar liel, v'hodatim levanecha. Teach it to your sons. V'lo levanotecha. The deal we make from that pasuk is not your daughters. Ava mezuzah, deleka miyuta klal. There is no miyut. Ela mishum derotze lahakish mezuzah. L'tama Torah, rotze l'tor nashim. Geshlo lomar da'ati svara de'gavri ba'ichayu mafkime akesha mechayvi nashim mezuzah. All the gavri ba'ichayu is doing is telling you, you might think you have a hekesh, don't apply the hekesh. That is Tosot's second answer. Women need life too, but we're just rejecting learning through this hekesh, but it doesn't get rid of a miut. We have a miut that says women don't need to learn Torah. So then, what is this? Gavra Bayichai do? It says, don't apply that miut to mezuzah. Okay. Source 4, Tosfot HaRosh has a different answer. Your son should put up mezuzahs, not your daughter. Kamosha on a darshim b'tama Torah, like we say that men weren't Torah, not women. Vim tomar b'tama Torah nami k'tiv ki uchayecha v'orechamecha. Yesh lomar d'lo mashmalei netina tam. When we say that Torah gives you life, that is not the reason for learning Torah. It may be a bracha as a result of learning Torah. Welcome to the man yirbim echem. Vim tomar ha leman yirbim echem kai nami atama Torah darshin mei parperek b'man likin da'avon bitl Torah banim etim shikdanim. Yesh lomar mikomakom b'tarot n'Torah nashim turot d'chtiv bei behedja b'nechem lo v'deichem. Ava mezuzah de lo ati alam ekeisha tama Torah ahani mashi ikoro katu mezuzah leman yirbim echem da'apukim ekeisha. So he gives Tosfot second answer again. But the different answer is the first one. What's the difference between the long life promised to mezuzah and the long life promised to learning Torah? The long life about mezuzah is the reason for mezuzah. Women need a long life, the mechuyavim of mezuzah too. The long life promised for Talmud Torah is not the reason for Talmud Torah. It's the reward for Talmud Torah. Therefore, the svara of women need life too doesn't apply to Talmud Torah. That is Tosfot HaRosh's answer. The Shita Lo Nodea Lami, I don't know who wrote it, said, Im Tomar, Va Talmud Torah Tichtiv Be Ki Chayecha V'Orech Yamecha, Uchtiv Ki Lo Davareku Mechem Ki Uchayechem, Torah is not empty, it's your life. So don't women need life? We have that same logic. Yesh Lomar, Hatam Gabi Tzava Talmud Torah Ktiv Benechem, Tichtiv Liman Atam Otam Epenechem. Hilkach Amri de Benechem Davka Midalokhtiv Zarachem. Aval Hacha de Gabe Bracha Kufa Ktiv Benechem. Vadai Lav Davka de Ati Gavri Bayechai Nashi Lo Bayechai. Shita Lona Dalami explains that the Mirin of women in Mezuzah would be from the Bracha. The Bracha says, the Man Yerbu Yimechem Yimnei Benechem. We would think to exclude women, and therefore we say not to exclude them, because they need the bracha of long life. For Torah, the miut is not the bracha, the miut is the mitzvah. It's where the miut is. The emphasis, meaning there is a miut in both cases. There's a miut regarding mezuzah, and a miut regarding Talmud Torah. But the miut in mezuzah is in the context of a bracha, and the women need the bracha of the long life too. But the miut of Talmud Torah is in the chiyuv itself, not just in the bracha. And therefore, women are exempt from learning, even though they're mechuyavot in mezuzah. Finally, a fifth answer, we have the Yavitz, Yaakov Emden. He says, this is already a little progressive, Yesh lomar l'aniyot ha'iti, ein hachanami nashim mechayvim b'talmud Torah. Goes the other way. Women are chayovot in Talmud Torah. Mitzvot today. The mitzvot that are shaykh to them, they indeed have to learn about. Etc. So Rav Yaakov Emden explains that when it comes to Torah, even if we derive that women are exempt, they still have an obligation to learn about the mitzvot in which they are obligated. Therefore, Kiyu Chayecha applies to women regarding the mitzvot about which they have to learn. If you exclude women from mezuzah, then they would have no share in that bracha at all. In other words, there's a way, yes, your question was, don't women need a bracha of life, and we have a bracha of life regarding Talmud Torah? And the answer is, enachanami, yes. Women also get the bracha of Talmud Torah. How do they get it? By learning about the mitzvot that apply to them. Let me just end with one last story. It was either at the beginning of this cycle or the previous cycle of Daf Yomi when Rav Hershel Shechter Shlita came to Yeshiva Har Tzion. Somebody asked him about Yeshiva Bachrim learning Daf Yomi. Should, where we have full Siddurim of Iyun and Mekiyun and whatever else is in our Yeshiva schedule, should we also learn Daf Yomi? And Rav Schechter said, let me answer with a story. He said there was an old man recently who started coming to my shir. And he sat in the back, and I never knew what he understood. And then one day, he walks me home to my home in Washington Heights. And while we're walking, he says to me, Rav Schechter, I want you to know I don't understand a word you're saying in shir. But why do I come? He says, I served in the Russian army. In the Russian army, there were rules. And you could be court-martialed. They would wake you up in the middle of the night. And they would bring you in to a trial. And you had to list the names of all the generals. And if you didn't, it was a sign you were a traitor to the state and very disastrous consequences. I didn't want to get to Olam Haba without knowing the names of all the generals. I didn't want to not know the name of Abaye and Rava, to not know Gavra Cheftza. So therefore, I come to your shir, even though I don't understand it, I pick up the names of the generals. So Rav Schechter said, for Yeshiva Bachrim, if you're not going to put in the time to do it right and properly, says about an hour, then it's not worth it in your yeshiva day schedule to do Daf Yomi. If you do it right, it's wonderful. But if not, he says, all you're going to get is the names of the generals. Well, for much of Klal Yisrael, they know the names of the generals, they know more, and a lot is happening Daf Yomi. Many, many communities, more and more shiurim, more and more people learning Daf Yomi, more and more people are becoming familiar with the Gemara and the names of the generals, and much more. And it's really a big bracha that he started this Daf Yomi, and that it's really a movement that's taken over much of the religious Jewish community in the world. And big zchut that we were able to learn a little piece of the Daf Yomi right here where it all began.